How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, October 31st, 2019. Halloween for everybody. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I am here today in my costume as a Jedi Knight. I'm sure that will come as a surprise to approximately no one. With me today, I have two panelists in also spectacular costumes. John Martellaro is with me today. Hi, John.
Hi, I won't tell you what I'm wearing, but good morning anyway.
I just wanted to hear about your Halloween costume, that's all. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian. What's your costume?
So, you know that guy in New York who he plays guitar and Naked Cowboy?
The Naked Cowboy?
Yeah. I'm Fat Naked Cowboy.
Oh, the judges would also have accepted Sexy Naked Cowboy.
That's funny.
It's going to be that kind of show, kids.
That was funny. I mean, factually impossible.
Not if you believe it, Brian. Have faith in yourself.
Yeah, you all now have. Everyone who knows me in particular has fantastic mental imagery, and you are welcome.
Our Halloween gift to you, listeners.
Yes.
I'm almost afraid to like press John for what his costume is after that. So let's not. What I will ask John instead is, John, we had the earnings call yesterday. I got derailed with Halloween costumes, but I was going to ask if everybody was listening on their shiny new AirPods Pro. But that wasn't the only takeaway from the call. John, you had kind of a list of things that you noticed from the call yesterday.
Yeah, Brian and I both listened in on the call, and as we do, we take notes and record it and talk about what was of interest to us. And often, not recently, but in the recent past, there have been disclosures guised as answers to questions, something that Tim Cook wanted to get across, some sort of interesting message. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and you go, aha, this is interesting. This is a revelation. Sometimes, though, however, the earnings call can be kind of boring, and the analysts are hung up on gross margins and success in China, and you're sitting there going, you know, yawn. But so yesterday was one of those sessions where there was lots of little juicy tidbits that collected in my mind. I was writing down a list of things I wanted to talk about. And no one item really was a smoking gun, but there were lots of little things that were interesting. For example, of course, as you know by now from reading the news, the Apple revenue for products was down, but revenue for services had grown dramatically, which overcame the decline and gave them the net revenue growth. And one is sorely tempted to surmise that Apple is transitioning from a hardware company to a services company because of the explosive growth of services and the decline in hardware and iPhone sales. But I think that hardware thing is temporary. I don't see it as a reversal, and I don't see a monotonic change in both in the opposite directions. I just see it as a temporary downturn in product revenue, and I think that's going to turn around in the future. And the result will be both will be growing, and Apple will be swimming in money if they are not already. So that was interesting. That said, services is 20% of Apple's total revenue, which is pretty cool. The other thing that I thought was interesting was that Macs set a record for quarterly and for yearly sales. And you remember in the fall of 2018, Apple started shipping new MacBook Airs and new Mac Minis. We've had iMac updates, and we've had MacBook Pro updates. And guess what? They set a record in revenue. If you want to sell a lot of Macs, design and ship Macs, people will buy them. It's simple.
It's that one weird trick for goosing Mac sales.
Yeah. I talk about that all the time.
Make new ones.
The other thing that I liked was the synergy between Apple hardware and services in terms of the Apple Card. So Apple gets it coming and going. First of all, they make the trade-in program extremely frictionless. I found out the other day that you can go into the Apple store and buy a new iPhone, and you've got 14 days to bring your trade-in back after you've transferred your data over and erased it. So it's a really frictionless process now to do a trade-in. So make it really easy to do a trade-in and then get the customer to use his Apple card to buy new hardware on a regular basis. And Apple wrote Andrew Orr wrote an article yesterday or this morning, I think, about how Apple will help you buy a new iPhone for 24 months on an Apple card. So they're getting you on both ends. They're getting you on the hardware and they're getting you on the interest charges on the Apple card, which is, when you think about it, is kind of cool for Apple. And it's a great way to make money. And it's one of those little things that Apple does that just kind of continues to boost their business. And finally, I think another thing that struck both Brian and me as interesting is that Tim Cook went out of his way twice, once in his preamble and once in an answer to an analyst question, that 3/4 of Apple Watch buyers are new to the Apple Watch. That number kind of took me by surprise.
Me too.
That indicates that we're very early in the Apple Watch product business and cycle. I mean, you would expect that everybody who wanted an Apple Watch would have one by now. But I think the notoriety of the Apple Watch, its communication capability, as Tim pointed out, health, fitness, and communication are strong parts of the Apple Watch story. And people are starting to continually grow into that and appreciate what the Apple Watch can do for them.
Let me side rail us, John.
Sure.
Because it's pertinent. The Michael fellow, I forget his last name, from Piper Jaffray, ask if the primary factor driving Apple Watch growth was health monitoring stuff. And Tim somehow managed to not say duh, but what he said was that he actually thinks it's the quote unquote, it's the totality that's driving it.
That there health, fitness, and calm.
Yeah. And he emphasized that several times, saying that basically it was a mix and it kind of depends on who you are, but that all three of these things, and he mentioned the ecosystem too, that all of these things were mixing together to drive growth.
And I did think somebody's question about the upgrade cycle was interesting. And that pairs, John, with what you were talking about how early in this we are, if still 75% of sales are to people who've never had one. And Tim was sort of talking about how they didn't really know what the upgrade cycle looked like for most people because it hasn't been around all that long. And
yeah, it's been around for 4 years. I was kind of taken aback when Tim Cook said that that hasn't been around long enough. I mean, I bought my first Apple Watch in April of 15, so that's what, 4.5 years ago.
But how many of you had?
It doesn't have enough data. Well, yeah, that's true. I'm on my second watch, was a Series 4.
As am I. And
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, and the Apple Watch was not a hot seller at first. So, I mean, I took Tim at his word there. And there are a lot of, John, there's a whole bunch of people who would not be buying a new watch every year.
Right.
Because, I mean, it turns out, and this is really weird to me, there are people who don't get a new iPhone every year. I'm mostly being sarcastic about that. But, I took Tim at his word when he said that they didn't have enough data to really have a handle on that.
Yeah, when I think about it, I think he's right. There was that discussion we had when the Apple Watch first came out. Remember that Apple was going to force people into buying a new Apple Watch every year, like they do an iPhone. By force, I mean radically redesign it so that you think, "Oh, this is oodles and noodles better." I got, you know, my old Apple Watch looks so yucky now. I have to have a new Apple Watch and keep doing that and keep doing that. Apple, and I argue that Apple would not do that as they have done with the phone, that they would keep the design basically the same because people don't think about upgrading their watches every year. They think maybe some people, as you said, Brian, want the fun and enjoyment of a new iPhone every year, but a watch is a watch. And you have to really be jazzed about something in order to get a new one. I was jazzed about the ECG or EKG on the new apps of Watch Series 4, which was kind of cool. So that's what propelled me into it. not that I have any problems, but it's just there. Mm-hmm. And worth the investment. It was time to buy a new watch anyway.
Yeah. And the fall detection too, I thought was.
Yeah.
Like the fall detection in the ECG. And there was a third thing that came with the Series 4 that was a health thing that made it very clear that was the direction that it was headed. Like it was going to do, you know, it was going to like be a good sidekick for your phone, but also do all this health stuff that was really great. And
yeah, I think the old watches didn't run the InfoTech display. So
yeah,
that was a cool thing to get.
Uh-oh. They're coming for Brian.
Sorry, I couldn't get to my mutant done.
Well, and those were interesting things. One of the things, I'll tell you one of the things I noticed was when they talked about the head of investor relations, Nancy Paxton, is leaving. And she's the woman that you hear on all the calls. And she's done 93 earnings calls. Yep. Been the person to talk about that.
She's been in that position for 23 years, and she was at Apple for 33 years.
Yeah. So I went back and did the math, and that would have been the third quarter of 1996 would have been when you first heard her. And that was the era of the Performa 6400.
Wait, though. We would not have heard her because those conference calls were private.
Oh, yeah, then we wouldn't have heard her. But the first time anybody could have heard her was then.
Yeah, SEC regulations required things that are disclosed to analysts to be disclosed to people. So these earnings calls started getting broadcast like Apple does today.
Yeah.
And that happened in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Really worth listening to, by the way. I mean, if you're an Apple customer, an observer of Apple, and you listen to this podcast and other Apple podcasts, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. It may sound dry and boring in some respects, but to hear Tim Cook and Luca Maestra talk about the company and what's important to them and give you numbers, give you a feel for the company, it's really worth listening to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially depending on what we see from the earnings, because the press release comes out with all the earnings numbers in it before the call starts. And so it's always kind of interesting to look at the numbers and then sort of take that and go, oh, well, the numbers look like this. So we're going to get a real, you know, this sort of perspective from the people on the call, from, you know, Tim and Luca and the other people that we speak with. And
yeah, you pick up on little things too. Like Brian picked up on a little thing that we both noticed during the call about Apple TV Plus. Right, mm-hmm. Brian?
Yeah, it was a, let me actually get the full quote, which I have here. Tim was being asked about the decision to bundle Apple TV Plus, and there were a couple of things that came out of that. So Tim said, it's a gift to our user, and he said that at least twice. I think it was twice. Mm-hmm. And that refers to the gift, not for Apple TV Plus. He said, quote, from a business view, we're really proud of the content, and we'd like as many people as possible to view it. This allows us to focus on maximizing subscribers, particularly in the early going. We feel great about doing that. I think it's a bold move. The price also, for those that are not buying a device in the period of time that we offer this, the price is very aggressive as well. So, that is
and
the first.
Brian and I both went bingo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been, you know, wondering, is this going to be a thing from now on? Basically, if I get a new Apple device every year, which I actually tend to do, will I just get free Apple TV? And I didn't really think that's what Apple was going to do, but you know, we didn't have an indication one way or another. In the period of time that we offered this to be very explicit, an explicit indication that this is a limited promo, limited time promo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so at some point they have to start thinking about uptake, converting people who are free into paid subscribers. And so that would also suggest that this offer has to come to an end at some point and start turning this into a revenue stream.
And Tim also pointed out that, and this is another thing that I think that many of us have been wondering, is would there be other bundles? And Tim said, you'll notice we haven't done any other bundles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this clearly isn't like a trend. That's a paraphrase, not a quote. So, you know, to me, it sounds like don't look for the arcade Apple TV Plus News Plus Apple Music bundle.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway from that. And also notice that they're calling it a bundle, but they're talking about a hardware bundle. Like, you know, it's being the Apple TV Plus is being bundled with hardware, not with other services. Mm-hmm. So if you're waiting for Apple to do some kind of bundle pricing, you can probably stop waiting for that and get the services that you want.
You know, one of the things I mentioned in my article, Brian, is I have a sense that people like their hardware so much and they trust Apple's focus on privacy and security, that there's this little bit of synergy there. Because you have really, really cool hardware and because you trust Apple on privacy and security, you are much more inclined to experiment with services, I think. Mm-hmm. Sign me up.
I wonder how many of Apple's customers do care about privacy? And I'm not sure it's a huge segment. I don't think that Apple has successfully gotten enough of us to care about privacy yet.
I think you're wrong. I think
I hope
people,
I'm wrong.
People who can afford Apple products are very focused on security. In my experience, people who don't believe that they have to be concerned themselves with security are people who can't afford to. And so they say, well, I'd really like to have the security and privacy and quality of Apple products, but I just can't afford $1,000 for a phone, or even with a trade-in, $600. And so I'm going to buy a Samsung phone for $199, and it looks cool, and it's beautiful, and it works, and I have all my apps, and I paid $199. And maybe I got a better deal than that from my carrier. So I think that's how it goes.
Could be.
That's my opinion.
I would like to be wrong on this, for what it's worth. So yeah. Here is another thing. Katie Huberty, mm-hmm, of Morgan Stanley, who usually gets the pole position these days, mm-hmm, she said, but her iPhone sales, I kid. She said, immediately, like, well, but what about those iPhone sales? Like, you know, fine, you just, your iPhone sales were down 9% year over year, but
it was better than the year before when it was 15%.
Yeah, that's better, but you know, what are you gonna do? You know, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna fix this? You know, mm-hmm, what's the deal? She wasn't interested in the other.
Tim was pretty coy about that,
but what he said was, in Cook Code, he said iPhone sales, we expect iPhone sales to rebound.
He said we're bullish, right?
He said, yeah, he didn't specify, and he says that that we're bullish on iPhone. And he said that if you look at the trends and you look at what's happening, you know, there's obviously a lot of factors and things that could go on. And he talked about the fact that the macroeconomic conditions with that there's less worry about an increased trade war with China at the moment. And all of those things, and then he ended up saying that we're bullish, which was a pretty specific. I would probably count this, John, as one of those things that you alluded to earlier, where they've got the thing that they've got the things that they're announcing, and then they've got the things that they want to say and will say, whether or not an analyst asks. Mm-hmm. And then the list of things that they'll answer if they have to, and then there's like all of the other things. And I would imagine that Tim being bullish on iPhones was probably one of those things that they were pretty intent on getting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sort of a tradition with Apple. You people have a tendency to think that if something is declining, it's going to keep on declining. If something's growing, it's going to keep on growing. And it's more typical to be cyclic than it is to be uniformly monotonic, increasing or decreasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And that increase was pretty significant. And we're also seeing, you know, Apple tried to start emphasizing services a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, and that's when it was 2 or 3 years ago when they talked about doubling services revenues to $50 billion a year. And they hit that this fiscal year, which the end of the September quarter was the end of Apple's fiscal 2019. Mm-hmm. And they did $46 billion in services revenue, $4 billion shy of their theoretical goal, or at least their goal from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, it always kind of chapped my high. You know, I like Apple's hardware. I love Apple services and whatnot. But you know, give me the hardware, mm-hmm. and it always chapped my high to hear this emphasis on services. But the reality is that they have executed. They laid out what they were going to do, and then they've been doing it.
Oh, and another thing that you and I heard Tim Cook talk about was it Katie? When she asked about China, he said there's more to China than iPhones. Remember that?
I don't know.
He said services are doing very well in China.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't hear an analyst, and I was hoping that I would hear this. I did not expect to hear it. I was hoping an analyst would say, so, you know, what's the deal with you kowtowing to China with that Hong Kong app?
Yeah. We basically that's never heard the words Hong Kong.
Invited back to a Q&A session.
plus, well, no, any analyst can chime in as whether or not you're going to have your question picked is the answer. Katie Huberty could have gotten away with asking that. She would never ask that. And Wall Street doesn't care. I mean, you know, Wall Street doesn't.
Right.
You know, show us the money. That's what Wall Street cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway. Whatevs. Yeah.
One thing I didn't notice a whole lot of, you know, we heard some mentions of new products, but I didn't hear a lot about iPad during this particular call.
Oh, but we did. We heard that iPad
17% growth.
Yeah, like iPads were like kicking butt.
Well, but we didn't spend a lot of time on it. Like, no, none of the analyst questions were iPad related, and there wasn't like a focus on it. It was one of the numbers and that was kind of it. So that was, I had sort of hoped that maybe we'd get a little bit more about, like, you know, yeah. You know why they're up? Because they released new ones that people wanted, well, like a mini.
There might be some synergy between services and iPads as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Absolutely.
That's a fair point. Being able to you know, reading news on the iPad is lovely.
Playing your games on the iPad because it's convenient. So yeah, watching great. Apple TV Plus on your iPad because you're, you know, laying in the recliner mm-hmm. somewhere and you just don't want to go over to the Mac and fire it up. And, you know, it's a logical place to watch. Of course, Apple TV is probably the primary place, but a lot of people don't have a home theater system. So iPad, it's a pretty logical place to watch Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, or News Plus or play a game. Like, I definitely prefer to play games on my iPad over my phone.
I hadn't thought about that before. Hmm.
Likewise. So
we're giving John some inspiration.
But iPad, I think they mentioned it twice that iPad the sales had increased.
Not that iPad sales had traditionally been that strong. They don't release unit numbers anymore. And I looked at the number and I think it was something like, as I recall, I'm not looking at the sheet, $4.6 billion in revenue for the iPad, which is about what they normally do. So 17% of nothing is nothing,
yeah.
And to be sarcastic about it. I mean, but iPad sales have ever since their peak in 2012 or 13, have never really recovered.
I was just sort of hoping we'd hear, because we did get a fair number of new ones. You know, we got some updates and some long-awaited updates. So,
but the Pro hasn't been updated yet,
right? I was just holding out hope that the Mini would be a bigger deal than it was, because I think the Mini is a good portion of that 17%. So, I'd sort of hoped it would get more love. That was all. I think that's going to do it for us today. We've got a lot about the earnings call. If you have questions about the earnings call, or if there was stuff that we haven't yet discussed that you would like to find out more about, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. I need to take a break from playing my guitar, my indoor on the street. So, you know, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm happy to give you a break. And yeah. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.